Good evening and welcome to I'm Actually Comics for January 16th, 2019. I'm Tristan.
And I'm Bob.
And we're going to talk about comic books. We're doing this super late, so probably this will be a little quicker than usual.
We're flying.
Because we're super late tonight.
And I'm drinking a cartoonishly large beer.
Very, very cartoonishly large.
It's cartoonishly large. That's all they had.
She's so sponsored by America.
It is.
It is a Budweiser.
This podcast is sponsored by, because you deserve what every individual should enjoy regularly.
That's the worst slogan I've ever heard.
It's the acronym for Budweiser.
Oh my God.
Yeah, someone made it up.
That's
and
horrific.
I remembered it because it's stupid and funny. And it's like Fixer found on Roadside Dead or Fixer Repair
exactly.
Daily. You know, it's one of those things.
I just like how it sounds like the worst slogan in the history.
I also like that it's because you, and it's like you is just you.
So it was Prince that came up.
Yes.
All right, let's talk about Justice League Dark, number 7.
Yeah, number 7. It's good, because it's all about Man-Bat. It's like a couple stories kind of presented like a old school horror, DC horror anthology. I liked it. I thought it was cool. I flew through the books, though, because I was late, because I was at the fancy place.
Yeah, this is my favorite of... This is probably my favorite Justice League Dark comic of a series that is my favorite DC series currently. Meaning... This is a really, really good book.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, this one that I'm holding in my hands is excellent.
Yes.
And I love this series, but this one was particularly wonderful. Everybody needs to read Justice League Dark.
Yeah, I've been on this, like, because with the Wonder Comics and all the Bendis stuff for DC, I've been really high on that direction and less on some of the darker stuff. But it is interesting to me that Justice League Dark... is actually a fairly lighthearted book in a lot of ways. There's some horror elements to it. There's like a particularly gruesome thing with Frankenstein, although I also loved seeing... There's a couple books, DC books this week, that threw some old school characters that hadn't been around a long time. Frankenstein and the Creature Commandos are in this Justice League Dark.
Yeah.
And there's more bang for your buck, 3 stories. It's good. Sets up a upcoming storyline. It's kind of like a bridge between arcs. It's cool. I like it. I like this book too.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And Fantastic Four number 6.
Mm.
It is out. Finally, Doom.
Yes.
And Galactus.
And Galactus.
So, what more do you need?
Not much. The art on this one is Aaron Cooter. I like the art a little bit better than the previous art on the Fantastic Four series. I like Aaron Cooter a lot. It's just really cool to see Dr. Doom in a kind of more like Fantastic Four, just being the Fantastic Four. I enjoyed it.
Agreed.
Yeah.
And Dick Tracy, number 3.
Dick Tracy is definitely a niche book, but I like it.
Yeah, it continues to be a very, like, in the way low sales, but it also continues to be one of the most amazing books.
It's written by Allred.
Allred and Tommaso.
Drawn by Tommaso.
Together. Like, what the hell?
It's a match made in heaven. And also, I love that him shooting really fast cover. It's funny to me, that cover. So the cover, just to describe a little bit, is Dick Tracy, and he is, like, kind of jumping out at a phalanx of villains that you see in Shadow, and he's shooting really fast. But Allred doesn't really do like fast action. He's like, his stuff is like more posed.
Oh, absolutely.
Traditionally. So it's really cool to see his approximation of action. I enjoyed it a lot. And then on the inside, obviously, you have Rich Tommaso drawing it. I think it's a super fun book. I like it.
Yeah.
What's next?
Exactly.
Ooh.
Let's talk about Conan. Conan. Again, when Marvel sets their mind to rebooting something, and they want to put some heat behind it, it's gonna be good. And Conan is no exception. This is like, it's the most Conan you're gonna get out of a Conan book. It's, you know, snake gods and big crazy fights, and
it reminds me a lot of when Dark Horse first relaunched Conan with, was it Brian Wood or whoever? I don't remember who wrote it, but
it was Brian Wood. And oh my God,
Cary Nord was the artist, and he's the guy who has been drawing Wonder Woman most recently. That's the one I'm thinking of.
Anyway. Oh, because when it first started, it was Becky Cloonan.
Oh, nice. Yeah, cool. I do remember that as well. I'm not sure. Anyway, this is great. I just really, if you like a Conan comic,
you're gonna love this one.
You know, flip your lid.
Yep.
It's really cool. And it also includes the next chapter of an all new Conan novella.
Yeah, and there's more Conan coming. There's Savage Sword. There's another.
Is it going to be magazine sized or is it going to be comic book sized?
I think it's comic sized.
That's a bummer.
And there's also there's a miniseries as well. Yeah. So like on top of that, we got.
Is he going to team up with Marvel again?
Yes, he is.
That's cool.
He's going to be on the Avengers book at some point. Ooh, that's the big rumor in the future.
Well, Jason Aaron is writing it, so that makes sense. I love
Conan crossover.
One of my favorite old comics is the Spider-Man Red Sonja.
Oh yeah,
Sonja. Is it Sonja or
Sonja?
Sonja. Sonja. Yeah, I don't know. Whatever. It's pronunciation guy over here. But then she possesses Mary Jane, and then they have this big battle with. Kulan Gath. It's a great book. Track it down. Marvel Comics Tales.
Yep.
Something.
Great. So was the
Marvel team up.
So was the what if Conan was in the Marvel universe or what was Ooh. What if he was in the modern day or
there was
what,
a what
whatever
if
that what if was.
I didn't enjoy that as much.
I loved that. Whichever one had Spider-Man eating dinner with them at the end.
Was that nice.
Was that the Red Sonja one? Maybe that was the Red Sonja one.
Conan isn't in that one. It's like a bunch of Conan peripherals, but there's no Conan.
I just remember the ending very clearly being just like a ridiculous superheroes and old-timey characters eating dinner together at a big table.
Well, I was, speaking of Conan in the Marvel Universe, I was recently revisiting the Spider-Man Rock Reflections of a Superhero album.
Oh, the best.
So good. And then on the back with the drawing of the different heroes that are in the bay, like Thor on trumpet, but Conan and the Barbarians are like the backup singers or something.
Yep.
I can't remember.
I think the Hulk was on drums.
Falcon on bass.
Falcon was the bass player.
Falcon was hand clapping.
Was he?
Yeah, hand clapping. And bass is Luke Cage.
It was somebody who had, I remember it was somebody Silver who Surfer. Had a vest.
Yeah, Silver Surfer was on keyboards, hand clapping by the Falcon. Captain America did something, but I can't remember what. The Fantastic Four were the backup singers. Conan and the Barbarians, I can't remember what they did.
All I know percussion? Is that that album is...
Strings.
That album is terrible.
It is, it's so
the
bad.
The songs are terrible, with one exception.
Which one?
That Doc Ock song rules. I really, really enjoy that. I will defend the Dr. Octopus song on that record.
I have the CD reissue of it that came out of years ago, and I should dig it out because I don't have it on my computer or anything.
I think I have it on my computer.
Nice. Oh, man. So, all right, let's move on to number one from Marvel, Black Widow, number one. This is an ongoing, yes? Ongoing series?
I think so.
I really enjoyed this. Interesting throws to old Chris Claremont era X-Men continuity. And I don't know who this villain is at the end, but he's so ridiculous looking. I can't wait to read a comic with him in it.
Yeah.
I don't know what this guy's deal. But if you remember the throws, specifically the Chris Claremont throws I'm referring to are the early issues of Wolverine's ongoing series. When he first established himself in Madripoor and was called Patch, Black Widow basically like uses that disguise in this comic. She goes to Madripoor and puts on an eye patch because that's, I guess, what you do when you go there. But there's characters from that run, and it was just really fun. Black Widow kicking ass against Nazis, stuff like that. Fun. It was just fun. I liked it.
Yeah. Speaking of things that are fun and that I liked, Batman Detective Comics.
Killing it. Yeah.
Like,
that's what I want. As far as I'm concerned, this is the Batman comic.
That's how I like Batman as well.
Yeah, continuity throw in this one.
Yeah.
There's like I guess it's the character that was, I don't know. Basically, if you've seen the first Christopher Nolan Batman movie, which I think probably anyone listening to this definitely has, check out Detective Comics number 996. You only got a few more issues until Detective 1000.
Yeah. So Batman, the Batman Who Laughs came out this week.
Yeah, I'm starting to get a little bit more of what's happening. It's definitely a parallel Earth. I don't know. It's fine, I guess. If you're really into the Batman Who Laughs, I won't unleash my stupid
nerd
opinion on it.
Listen, so here's the thing is that I kind of do get where you're coming from, but I also get where the people who dig this approach to Batman are coming from as well. I find this compelling. I think that the curmudgeon in me really has just, like, you get a lot of these and it just, it starts bogging you down. Mm. But I am enjoying it. I just feel like, unfortunately, if you have too many dark, like, end of the world versions of these superheroes, you don't have anything to compare it against, then they're only doom and gloom. It only really works when you're like, when you have
a bright superhero. Right. Yeah. Like, all throughout that comic, there are ads for Young Justice and Wonder Twins, right, and all these books that I'm really excited about, that are just kind of more hopeful and fun. And this isn't fun to me. And I guess for some people it is, and that's fine. I'm not like, there's no judgment. Like, it's not, it's just, it's, I don't want to like poison the well with like my opinion, but this is not a book that I particularly enjoy. It's just like, if you really like a really dark, grim, disgusting version of Batman, then you've got a book.
You've got a book here.
And it is a 5-issue miniseries, so, 6 issues. So you're on number 2. I will say, I enjoyed number 2 more than, yes, I enjoyed number 1. It made more
as
sense.
As did I. I enjoyed it. So let's go to something else that is going to be tough for me to speak well of.
Yeah, I've never seen this film, so I can't.
So this is Avatar. I'm not even going to bother trying to pronounce his Navi name. It's Path.
It's a character from Avatar.
It's a character from Avatar, and he's having an Avatar adventure. I don't know, man.
I'll ask.
I've literally never met a person that likes this movie, so I find this fascinating. I could be so wrong about this. Huh. Like, I got a few copies because I was like, you know what? I'm not going to put my own personal opinion about the Avatar movies as the be-all, end-all. If people want it, I want it in the store, blah, blah, blah. So I'm putting it out, but I just did not care for the movie. It was passable, whatever. It just doesn't stick with me, and it doesn't feel like it has the longevity of, like, a comic tie-in and extra movies. It felt like, oh, cool, look at this beautiful world. It's, like, it's got some stuff going on. The story was fine, but...
But it's one of the most successful films of all time, correct?
It is. And it is, absolutely.
Can I ask a question about it? Because I have not seen it. The movie is about, like, guys in the real world,
right,
that dream that there are these other aliens or there's some kind of thing going on with that. Like, it's like they're avatars of them or something, right?
That's where the term comes from, yeah.
So the one thing about flipping through this that I didn't quite understand is so this is Dark Horse doing Avatar tie-in movie comic.
Yeah.
And that's what Dark Horse does well.
I believe these are just the cat people.
Yeah, it's just the people from,
right,
the Avatar world.
So it has
world.
Nothing to do with humans.
So it seemed interesting where some of the stuff that they've done more recently with their tie-ins like Terminator and RoboCop, where they like go back to like what the movie was about and really kind of sink into that. This is like more of like an expansion of the world. So if that's your thing and you like Avatar, there's a comic out this week for you.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
And maybe we'll see what they do with it. It's
beautiful.
I'm
happy
to see Dark Horse with franchises, and I wish them all of the success. Of the
and world. Also, the colorist kills it as far as keeping it to the movie tones and everything. Yeah. It's a very pretty looking book.
And the artist, Jan Dersima, is been around for decades, and I don't know anything about them, but good to see him still working.
Perfect. Elvira continues to make comic books.
Fun.
And they're fun.
Yeah, I really enjoy the Elvira book. I think they do a great job with it.
Just in general, this has been a complete surprise to me in both the fact that I continue to enjoy these books unironically. They're funny.
Yeah.
They're just well-written and silly, and they have little horror throws to them. They're just a fun comic book from beginning to end. And the fact that they also sell really well for us. Like, we're selling a lot of Elvira comics.
Nice. They're good. Honestly, like, I'm no Elvira or even like a huge horror fan. I think they're really fun.
Yeah, it's strange. I'm stoked that there is something. Also, Firefly number 3 is out this week.
Not to just like glaze over it, but I did kind of bring that, even though this is the third issue and we haven't talked about the other ones. So the Whedon properties are now at Boom Studios. And this Firefly book is drawn by Dan McDade, who I really like, and written by Greg Pak, who I really like.
Oh my God, I didn't notice
it
that.
It was really strong. Honestly, like I really enjoyed the story and the if you're into the Firefly thing and you've passed over some of the comics, this is actually, I think, really good and totally holds up. And then another thing that I realized looking through it is that there Boom has Buffy.
I am looking forward to the new Buffy series.
Yeah, they're rebooting Buffy.
Yeah.
So it's like essentially it's the same. I'm currently, my wife and I are rewatching Buffy. She's seen it a bunch of times. This is my second, what am I doing?
Touching the cord.
Don't touch the cord. it was cool to see that's what they're going to do with it. It's like the same characters from the TV show, but like done from scratch.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really cool take and I'm looking forward to that.
I'm very excited for it. It looks super cool. And I absolutely agree. I'm really looking forward to a redone Buffy universe.
Yeah. That's
because soon, they right? had, they had gone so far, yeah. Like they had gone so many seasons out in the old version that it was like, yeah. it was getting a little bit old. And so just having those characters literally come back to their early ages and getting to do those like season one things through a different lens and with different stories, that's going to be super fun.
And with Whedon as kind of like a showrunner still. So like, it'll still be as like, it'll have that. Where I lost it with the Dark Horse Buffy was when they made Xander and Dawn a couple. And I was like, that's just gross. And I didn't want to have anything to do with it. Like, I just, I like literally like that one thing just was like, I can't do it. I can't hang.
I thought, I felt like it was when Buffy got superpowers that I
actually kind of liked that.
Felt like it went off the rails.
Yeah, I don't know. I liked that. And I liked Frey and I liked the whole like Future
I
Slayer thing.
I loved Frey.
But I just, I don't know.
And in the like most recent issues, she's had the Frey axe. She's been like carrying that around, which was kind of cool.
Haven't seen it.
Yeah.
That's cool. Anyway, another number one.
Another number one.
I love that we don't do number ones first. I think that number ones are overrated. But in this case, there's an Invaders number one from Marvel. It's written by Chip Zdarsky and drawn by a couple different artists. It's a flashback to World War II and then an adventure in the present day that ties into the stuff that's been going on with Namor in the Avengers comic. It's Zdarsky, so it's super smart and well written, well paced.
But not funny.
It's not
Zdarsky funny.
No.
It's just not. Zdarsky doing a straight World War II Invaders comic.
But to me, like, this is like the version of Captain America that, I don't know, and Winter Soldier is in it. It's the original Human Torch, the Invaders, you know, the same guys. But it's largely, what I liked about the issue is that it goes a long way. Some of the more recent stuff with Namor, I've been like, what's going on? That doesn't make any sense with what I know about Namor as a character. This is kind of like humanizing Namor and also using his past to kind of explain his present. And I thought it was very smart and good.
Yeah.
Cool book.
Okay, Isola.
Isola. Basically, it's an art comic. There's an overall story, but it's like a lot of it. It's like, I think it's really cool looking. And
there is so little story in this book.
It's just, it goes slow.
It's very, I'm sorry, that's unfair. There's so little plot. It moves very, very slowly.
I just feel like it moves slowly, and I feel like it's more like,
it's more about the art and the progression, and it's like, it's almost like reading animatics for an animated movie in a way, where it's kind of things, you actually see where things go from place to place, moment by moment, as opposed to in a lot of comics, it'll just like, it's almost like smash cuts in a movie.
Yeah.
Where this is like, literally, the tiger is on one side of the river, and over six panels, he moves, six times.
Yeah, I think these are like more graphic novel oriented.
Absolutely,
it's absolutely gorgeous. Like the art is incredible, and it is.
I apologize.
She.
The tiger's.
Oh, right. That's right. But anyway, it's just a beautiful book, and I thought it was worth mentioning that there's a new arc starting, and this is the first issue of it.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
I think I nailed that. I'm not sure.
I think you did. I think we've all figured it out. And speaking of great books, Ironheart, number two.
Yeah. I don't understand why her neck is so long, but
her neck
that,
is real long.
It's a stylistic choice, but it's just weird to me. But it's a cool book about
Well, the author, I believe, is an Afrofuturist, and I believe it is designed to look like African jewelry.
Okay.
Like the neck stretching kind of
thing.
So I believe that is the deal.
All right.
If I'm not mistaken.
That sounds totally plausible. But anyway, it's like a world building kind of her friends and establishing itself. If I were a younger person, I might relate to it a little bit more.
It's funny. I find it so charming.
Nice.
Like I read through it and I'm just like, this is like, it's unlike almost anything else where it feels like Buffy in a way. Like it has that kind of like, these are teenagers interacting in a way that teenagers interact. And it's just like, they're nice people and you kind of want to know them.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's kind of that is one of the toughest things to write. And I feel like that it's just really nailed.
Nice.
Man Without Fear, number 3.
It was, I mean, there's really not much to say about it without giving away, like, largely. It's mostly psychological.
Yep.
I would say just a new take on Daredevil, a new direction, a new...
A whole new world.
It was all right.
Yeah.
Dug it just fine.
Yep.
I really dug this issue of Supergirl.
Great.
Number 26 features the return of the Omega Men from the Omega Men series. The most recent incarnation, but also with throws to the classic Omega Men and some characters that haven't been around for a very long time. Supergirl is questing in space, trying to find the true destroyer of Krypton and bring them to justice. And this is the next chapter in that ongoing series. Kevin Maguire is the artist. Mark Andrego is the writer. And it's really good. I love the Omega Men, and it was so cool to see them all and like, kind of like incorporating the modern take with the classic take. I thought was really cool, kind of out of nowhere, but I am a huge fan of having no continuity, so I was happy to see them back.
Yeah, great.
Continuity sucks.
The Return of Wolverine, number 4.
I will say I did not understand this comic at all. I love Declan Shalvey. He drew it, but man, I probably spent more time with this book than I did with most of the books I read, and I still like just did not understand it. Somehow.
Yeah, no, I 1000% agree with you.
He's like dreaming or something. I don't know. It's weird.
I mean, it feels like it's intentionally just making it
dense and like
more confusing.
And I don't understand what story they're telling with Wolverine. I feel like they have this thing that's going to happen with Wolverine, and there's just a bunch of comics that are going to come out before that story is ready to launch, and they aren't going to go anywhere. And so you get Return of Wolverine number 4. I don't know. I literally did not understand it.
Nope. Me either. I did understand Spider-Man number 13.
Spider-Man was cool. Interesting things going on with Jonah Jameson in this new Spider-Man book.
Yep. That's actually been kind of the big thing with this whole arc has just been that J. Jonah Jameson is getting a redemption arc, which maybe nobody asked for, but you know what? I like it.
He is kind of talking in like an oddly strange voice.
Yes.
J. Jonah Jameson to me, but at the same time, like I like what is happening with his character, so it didn't really bother me that much. But
yep.
I'm used to him having a more like kind of gruff, old world kind of like newspapery guy talking, and instead
yes.
he's like in this he's more like I am psychologically examining my past. It's fine. I liked it.
Want pictures of Spider-Man to put in a frame next to my bed because I like him a lot.
I still think the ultimate J. Jonah Jameson quote is Spider-Man threat or menace. It's like
yes.
that's your choice. He's either a threat or a menace. You can pick.
Wonder Woman 62.
I wish that the first artist from the arc was back, who I mentioned earlier when we were talking about Conan, Carrie Nord. This new art team is not bad, but
I had no problem with the art on this one.
I like this run just fine. It's I actually kind of skimmed through it because I'm going to read this with some of the more recent issues altogether.
Yeah, Wonder Woman has been really good.
Yeah, I like it.
I've been really digging pretty much everything up until now.
Willow Wilson, I like her. You might, if you're a fan of the Ms. Marvel series, you might know her. But she also did, oh, what was that book she did for Vertigo? Air, about the stewardess.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
I really liked that.
That had really cool art, too. I like that book. Your Vertigo needs more books like that.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Man, I can't
that was a good
Border
one.
Town. That was so sad.
So sad. I literally sold all of Air to somebody, like the whole, all of the graphic novels to one of my friends. Actually, Jay Hag bought all of them right before she went on a like 20-hour plane trip to read in the air.
Cool.
Which is not the thing to read when you're flying.
Yeah. I don't know. It gets pretty cool. It gets pretty trippy.
It does.
Like that whole, the Quetzalcoatl.
Yeah.
Quetzalcoatl. Anyway,
I only know how to pronounce it based on the 70s movie or 80s movie.
I only know how to pronounce it based on reading Quasar. I don't know why.
The winged serpent starring.
Please, someone tell me that Quetzalcoatl actually appears in Quasar, because there is some part of my memory that says he did, and I don't have any specific memory of it. So if you've read Quasar and know that is in it, please confirm that my brain is not completely broken. Venom number 10, I skimmed.
I'm currently skimming it.
Yeah, I 100% skimmed it. It's continuing the Venom storyline. I figured the less I knew about it, the better, because I would probably just spoil it, and that wouldn't be good for anyone.
Wow. Okay. That's crazy.
About what I expected.
Actually, I find the tag at the end pretty interesting.
Exactly.
Awesome. I'm into it. Yeah. The rest of the issue was not super compelling, but man, the ending is fascinating.
Yeah, it was a lot of talky-talky.
A lot of talky-talky, but the last three pages were
killer. Yeah. It's a good arc in general, so
yeah,
it's just one of those things where I just didn't want to get super.
We only had 2 hours to get through 60 comics.
I don't even know if I had 2 hours. I came late.
We had an hour to get through 60 comics. Suicide Squad number 50.
Suicide Squad number 50 is out. I brought that specifically because Suicide Squad number 50 is out. I did not read it at all.
Perfect.
Nothing against it, just it has a Jim Lee cover, and it's a 50th issue, so I figured it was worth mentioning. Another Marvel number one.
So Marvel Comics Presents.
Those are rare as hell.
This is a three-feature comic. Yeah. It's got a Captain America story, a Wolverine story, and an Invaders story.
Unlike Justice League Dark, it does not feature Man-Bat.
It does not, but it is really
good.
To its
own detriment.
Sadly.
No, I'm just kidding.
If they could get a Man-Bat, it would have been better.
It would have.
But Wolverine does fight monsters in the beginning, and it's really fun.
Nice.
I really liked the Cap story. It just turns out I don't like the Invaders. I think at the end of the day,
they're pushing it hard too.
Invaders feels like when they were trying to push the Inhumans. I hate the Inhumans a lot more than I hate the Invaders, but it feels a lot like that.
I wonder. Yeah, maybe that is why they're, because they are really pushing the Invaders.
Yes.
So maybe that's how they're going to continue.
You could go back to World War II.
Yeah. And that way, anyway, the big selling point, according to Marvel Comics Presents, which, by the way, I do have to say, terrible cover design. Completely agree with you. The cover design is absolutely horrible on this.
It looks like we're supposed to be giving it away for free.
Yeah, and it's like you have Arthur Adams art on your cover. Like, how do you do that? But Wolverine begins his vigil in Marvel Comics Presents. It looks like it's like every issue, just like the old one, you know, three stories, one with Wolverine and two other guys.
It's great. I dig it. I always loved these. I kind of wish it was a flip book like it used to be, but that's fine.
Yeah.
Like it used to be.
Didn't it used to have four? And it was you flipped it and you got two and two. It was like 8-page stories.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah. So anyway, Marvel Comics Presents. Superman number 7. What happened? So Superboy, who was very young, went to space and he came back and now he's a teenager. And you're starting to understand what's going on with that. And I thought I would hate it. And turns out, like everything else that I thought I would hate Brian Bendis is doing, I actually totally love it.
Yep.
Really good. Really, really good. And sets up kind of like a next arc, which is infinitely more compelling than the Earth gets sent to the Phantom Zone, which was what was going on before, which was even itself not bad, like I'm making it sound. Yeah, I really like, I don't know. I'm on fire with Bendis. I've never been as into Bendis as I am. In fact, I actually actively did not like him until fairly recently. I think he's great. I think he's the best thing that happened to DC in decades.
Yeah,
and
agreed.
I'll say it every time we do a podcast because every week something comes out that he did, and yep. I will praise it as long as it is good.
So, Uncanny X-Men 10, the thing that we've been waiting for to happen has happened.
It sure does.
This is the kickoff to the Age of X. This is going to be the event that we've been waiting to transpires here. I won't say how it happens or anything, but this is where this all goes to hell and we get.
Is this the last weekly issue?
I don't know.
Because now after this, it'll be Age of X.
Because there's going to be Age of X.
But then there's also, I thought, interestingly, they set up Age of X, but then apparently the storyline, the main storyline, will continue in the regular Uncanny X-Men, starring characters that are not in the Age of X, which I
thought was
interesting.
There is a way that could happen.
Yes, absolutely. If you read this comic,
I'm interested to see if that's the plan that they're going with, because that's cool.
Yeah.
It
looks like kind of dovetailing ideas.
And again,
very smart storytelling
in
the X-Men.
I love X-Men, and I love this X-Men. So,
been good.
I'm so happy that it is as good as it is.
It has been good.
And last,
I did not read this.
But
I grabbed
not any reason to be last.
No, it's last because I didn't read it, and then I realized it was there and you like it, so I just grabbed it.
Yeah, this book is not for everybody, but I definitely enjoy it. House of Whispers from the Sandman universe. It continues to be just, it definitely has been confusing me a little bit, but it's a cool story. Spooky. Good stuff.
Good art.
Yeah.
Good coloring.
I don't have much to say for it if you're not into crazy horror voodoo.
Oh man, that's cool.
Nonsense. You're not going to dig it, but if you are,
if you're into just like generally cool concepts, there's a really cool one at the end of this. Neat.
Good book. There hasn't been anything bad through this whole series. So
cool.
So that's
all
it.
That's all we brung.
So that's this week. Thanks, guys, for listening. You can find us at Coast City Comics on Instagram and at Actually Comics.
I've been so bad with posting.
I'm gonna do posting for the weekly stuff.
Yes, and I will post pictures from the comics that I bought because I didn't take any pictures at the store because I suck.
That's okay. Those are the things. We have all the books up on coastcitycomics.com. You can purchase them there. Code BLARG, get free shipping. It's at the top of the page, so I don't need to spell it for you, but it's BLARGH exclamation point.
I do enjoy you spelling it. It pleases me.
And so guys, come shop at the store. It's full of nonsense.
Hooray.
Awesome.
Hooray for nonsense.
We will see you next week.
Yeah. Bye.